Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Couch Talks, which is the special bonus episode that comes out every Wednesday where I answer questions that you send in to me on the Unitherapy podcast. So if you have a question and you want to send it, you can send it to Catherine at unitherapypodcast.com, which is me. I'm Catherine. You guys can call me Kat. So before we get into it, I wanted to remind everybody that this podcast is not therapy and I cannot be your therapist. Well, actually, that's a lie. I might be some of y'all's therapist. But if I don't know that I'm your therapist, then I can't be your therapist. I have to know about it. We have to have an agreement. And we actually will talk about that later in this episode. So this week, I'm actually going to do three questions. I usually just do two, but I'm going to do three and be a little crazy. So let's just jump into it. The first question actually comes after somebody listened to last week's episode from NEDA Week, which is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. That was last week. If you want to listen to that episode, it's your identity is rooted in more than you think. And it's about body image and eating disorders and all of the things. And here's the question. Reminder to everybody, I keep all these anonymous just because I think it's easier that way. And I just think that's safer and better. So this is from anonymous. And here it is. I had a very strange realization moment around body image this week, listening to Monday's episode regarding eating disorders. You mentioned body image and how that it is a focus of yours. I recently got hair extensions and I'm obsessed. I've dyed my hair, tried fake nails, no plastic surgery though, but I'm not hating on anyone that has. So now my question is it wrong to get these enhancement treatments done? Fake eyelash extensions, microblading, those are so common. Is it messing with our body image? I truly haven't felt this confident in a long time. I didn't lose any weight or change my face. I just added some hair and now I think I'm a full-fledged beauty queen. Is this something that is hurting my body image or maybe even worse, hurting body image for little girls? First of all, like the introspection here, I just want to commend you. This is amazing that you're even thinking about this. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I love also that you're thinking about yourself and then you're also looking at the bigger picture, which is something that in body image work, we really got to do. And I think it comes down to a couple little things. Or a couple big things. One is our intention. So what is our intentions in getting these enhancements? Is it for fun? Is it because like I hate myself? Is it because so-and-so's doing it? What's the intention? And also how extreme are our behaviors? How extreme are our attempts to fix or change ourselves? And are they causing us pain in other areas of our lives? Are we sacrificing, making huge unhealthy sacrifices in other areas of our lives to look a certain way? Are these consequences of our behaviors dangerous? I mean, I think a lot of us have probably heard of the TV show Botched, and I've only been able to watch like a handful of episodes because I can't watch that kind of like medical stuff, and two, I feel really sad when I watch it because we see how people go to extremes to change the way they look. For a lot of people, it causes them a lot of health risks, and there are extreme consequences that affect the quality of their lives. And so that's a red flag. And that's, I think, one of the ways you would be able to know, is this actually worth it? Is this a bad thing? And I will say this as someone who loves to dye my hair. My hair color is not natural. And I went blonde a couple years ago. Then I have, what do they call it? Balayage. I don't know how to say hair things, but like I've done a lot of different stuff to my hair. I've dyed it purple, all the different things. And I've also had microblading done, which is, I guess it's like tattooing your eyebrows. I don't know what if that fits. I don't know. Shout out to Beauty by Megan, who is actually the one who did my eyebrows. And I am somebody who loves that. I think that's fun. I'm also someone who will go days without putting makeup on or doing my hair. I mean, you guys probably have all seen one day I have my hair curled on my Instagram. One day it's in like a top knot and like my hair like looks like it's in dreadlocks because I haven't brushed it. And I'm someone who will wear like cute outfits and get ready every day. And then I'm somebody who will wear leggings and a sweatshirt to work for an entire week. So I say that because looking put together or looking a certain way doesn't ruin my life, but sometimes I do find it really fun to do that. And it's a way to express ourselves and show individuality. Key there is individuality. It is natural to want to like what you look like, but that's it. You get to decide if you like what you look like, and you get to decide what's beautiful and good and worthy and all that. You get to decide that, and you get to create those standards, not the world around us. And something else I would want you to think about is, does what we look like have the ability to make or break how we feel about ourselves? I really want that answer to be no for y'all, because I might be really put together and think that I look like a beauty queen one day, and the next day I like roll out of bed and my hair looks like it's in dreadlocks, and like my worthiness doesn't change in either one of those circumstances. I am the same human no matter what I look like. Now, do I have fun putting together outfits? Sure. Do I have fun when I get to roll out of bed and go to work? Also, sure. But the real issue I see is when people don't own up to things they do to change the way they look. And then we question ourselves and are like, well, why can't I wake up and look like the way she looks like? Like whenever that thing that I woke up like this came out, like, first of all, nobody just wakes up and looks like they have a full face. Well, actually, I can't say that. Maybe some people go to bed with makeup on. But I think that a huge issue is the fact that we look at other people and think that they just look that way, not knowing that they have hair extensions or they have Botox or they have gotten microblading or they have breast implants or they've gotten this plastic surgery or whatever it is that they have. I mean, could a million things. None of those things are bad or wrong. But I think the issue is we look at other people thinking that they just look like that and we look like this, when in reality, they've gone to extremes to change what they look like. So we can't compare ourselves to those people. So one thing I really do encourage is when, like, if I do get fake hair extensions, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But if somebody's like, oh my gosh, how does your hair look like that? It looks so good every day. Just like, they're extensions. There's nothing wrong to owning up to that. There's nothing wrong with the fact that your hair naturally isn't that thick and long. There's nothing wrong with that. That's one of the reasons I really struggle with Instagram and modeling and magazines and all that, because there's so much retouching and people don't realize that what we're looking at isn't even that person. Like, they don't even look that way. So in my opinion, if we're gonna get our eyebrows microbladed, then don't pretend like you're born with those perfect, thick, bushy eyebrows. And if we get our hair done, don't pretend like we just have perfect roots all the time. There's nothing wrong with doing any of that stuff, but the thing that I think creates a problem is when we have to go to extremes to do it, and then it causes us actual like consequences in our lives. And when we pretend like we didn't do that, that perpetuates the issues of like, why don't I look like this? Everybody else looks like that. And that's why on Instagram, I think there's been like, I don't know if it's a trend, but a lot of people are doing that thing where it shows two sides of your face, one with a filter and one without. Like, I have stopped using that smooth face filter because it tricks me. It makes me think that my face really looked like that at some point. And then when I go back and see those videos, I'm like, why doesn't my face look like this anymore? But it's because my face never looked like that. So all that to say, I'm fine with people doing all those things, but you really got to question the intentionality. Don't lie about it. And if it's causing you health issues or real consequences in your life, if the benefits don't outweigh the cost, then we really got to see, like, why are we going to these extremes? And just be honest and real with it. You're allowed to have fun playing with different looks and styles and all of that, but own up that, like, we all wake up with like pimples on our faces. And I like that Hannah Ellis, who did the episode with us about skin, it's like, we all have pores, like normalized pores. Like, none of our faces look like, well, they shouldn't look. We need pores. They do something for our face. So this is long-winded and I'm rambling, but I think you guys get the gist of that by now. Thank you for that question, though. I think that was really, really a thoughtful, good question to ask. Second question. So I know it is possible to be happy for someone's success, whatever it may be, a new relationship, pregnancy, job, school, etc., while at the same time being in pain for yourself. Just because I'm happy for them doesn't mean that for this season, I have the strength to be around it. Now, my lack of involvement is actually causing them pain, which in turn causes me more pain. It's a mess. I'm in therapy. But anyway, if you have any advice on how to navigate these weird times, I would love to hear it. This is also great because we did talk about how, like, on the podcast, I don't know what episode it was, but how, like, I can be really happy for, let's say my friend is getting married and I can be really happy for her finding that person, or my friend's having a baby and she's pregnant and I can be really happy for her that she's getting that. But maybe at the same time, like, I just went through a breakup, or like, I've been single for a while, or I've been having infertility issues. We can be happy and sad for ourselves at the same time. And what I hear is that you're creating a boundary in the sense that I don't have the ability to be around them all the time in that. And then they have a feeling around it. This speaks so much to the codependency episode that came out on Monday that I would really recommend anybody who is resonating with this question to listen to. Because what I hear is their feelings in turn cause me feelings. And that really stems from a lack of internal boundaries. Because when it comes down to it, we cannot control somebody else's feelings and their behavior and all of their stuff, but we can control not our feelings, but us and what we do with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody being upset about us not being there for them, us not being able to be there for them. But just because they're upset doesn't mean you're doing something bad or wrong. And that's what we have to like create a boundary around, of like reminding ourselves that like, it's okay for me to take care of myself first. Hear that. It's okay for you to take care of yourself first. And in codependency work, one of the things you do is really learn how to find like value and prioritize ourselves above everybody else. Because when we're codependent, we don't do that. My recommendation for you would to be maybe bring up codependency and the idea of it to your therapist and see what she thinks about that, and have a conversation about that. I also would recommend reading those two books I recommended, Codependent No More and Facing Codependency. Those are really, really great books, and that might help you navigate some of this stuff. I say that knowing that this is not easy, and I'm with you in that. And I'm going through some of those things. There's plenty of people in my life that have things that I wish that I've had, or I wish that I do have. And sometimes I can show up for a limited amount of time. Sometimes I can't show up at all. And I have to really like care for myself well, knowing that like if somebody has a feeling about my behavior that's actually a behavior that is about caring for myself, I can't do anything about that. And it doesn't mean I'm bad or wrong. It actually means that like I'm doing a good job of being kind to myself. So I know that doesn't wrap everything up in a nice bow, but like, do I ever do that on here? I don't think I do. All right. So last question. And I feel like I've been talking about this a lot lately, but I'm just going to answer it again because I think that it keeps coming up. And obviously you guys are wanting some help. So this person wrote, I'm not sure if you've addressed this question on your podcast yet, but I'm in need of a counselor and have been struggling to find one that's a great fit for me. What are your recommendations for finding a therapist? I'm a self-pay patient. I don't have an option to just try out a bunch of therapists before I find the right one. Okay. So I will say, I want to say this again. I am not somebody that's going to be able to give everybody who messages me a recommendation for a therapist, especially if you don't live in Nashville. I don't know people in other areas. Like I don't have that big of a network of therapists. Maybe one day I will, but right now I don't. And I don't also have the capacity to answer every email and give everybody a recommendation. So what I did a couple months ago was I created a thread on the At You Need Therapy podcast that gave tips on how to find a therapist. So I'm going to just go through those tips and then we're going to talk about it. The first thing I would do when you're trying to figure out if you want to go to therapy and how to find a therapist is ask yourself what you want to get out of therapy. This will help lead you to what kind of therapist you want. And all, in parentheses, good therapists don't treat everything. So for example, if you need help with grief, addiction, relational issues, maybe anxiety, maybe an eating disorder, you will want a therapist that works well with those things. Now, also in that, it's okay if you don't know what you're looking for too. It's just a helpful place to start. So if you can start with that, I would start with that. Then I would ask around. So do you have a friend that works in the mental health field? Ask them. Do you have a friend who goes to therapy? Ask them. You might not want to see their therapist because of boundaries, but their therapist might have a recommendation for somebody in your area. Number three, Google. Use the internet. So there are websites like psychologytoday.com that are dedicated mental health directories. And if you find someone on there, just do your research because we can all put a profile up there. Just do your research, read their bio. If they have a website, take a tour, check out their vibe to see if it's something you may find yourself connecting with. If there's reviews, read reviews. Keep in mind though, that a good fit for one person may be a terrible fit for another. It doesn't mean the therapist is bad or the client is bad. It just means that they're not a fit and not everybody can be a fit. Therapists are just like the relational things. So some people love seeing me and I've had people that haven't loved it. And that doesn't really mean anything other than the fact that connecting and having relationships isn't the same for everybody. It's not a one size fits all. Four, beware of sticker shock. So reputable therapists in larger cities can cost anywhere from like $100 to like $350 depending where you are. And a lot of those therapists don't take insurance. So before you run away, I would encourage you to one, ask the therapist if they have any sliding scale spots. And if they don't, if they can put you on a wait list. And then call your insurance and ask if they can reimburse you for mental health services. So like I don't take insurance, but I can give clients something called a super bill and then they can submit it to their insurance and possibly be reimbursed. Now, I don't have anything to do with that outside of giving them that form, but that is a possibility. So I would check into it. And then that's not an option. There are a lot of places. I know in Nashville, there's a place called The Refuge, which is somewhere that does just all sliding scale appointments. And so basically your fee is based on your income. So see if you can find a place like that in your area. And then the last thing is just try them out. Go to a first session with an open mind. You aren't signing your life away. If you don't like them, you don't have to go back and you can try someone else. But I would recommend not just leaving after the first session unless there's like a huge red flag that pops up, because sometimes it takes a little bit to like get into it and first sessions can be really weird. Now, I know this person that said I'm self-pay, don't have the option to try various therapist before I find the right one that's right. And I mean, some therapists might do like a 10-minute like screen call that might be helpful, but a lot of people don't have time to do that. So sometimes you just gotta commit to it. And I know that's hard. It feels harsh saying that, but I mean that in the fact that like it might not be an option for you to find the perfect fit and know that it's the perfect fit before you try them out. It just might not be an option. So you can ask if they'll do like a screen or a 5 or 10 minute phone call, but just know that that probably is less likely. But it could happen. So all I'm about to say, here are your tips. If you need somebody or you want to find somebody in your area, that, and you can go back on my page at You Need Therapy Podcast and you can look at this again so you can read the tips. Good luck to everybody who's out there in the fight to find a therapist. I appreciate you and I think what you're doing is great. And hopefully that helped. And that wraps up this episode of Couch Talks. Again, if you have questions, you can send them to Catherine@YouNeedTherapyPodcast.com. And I look forward to talking to you guys again next Monday.